Part of message last week entitled God is Good. I'm going to continue with that theme today. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 33 and verse 5. While you're turning, as a way of review, last week we learned that the makeup of God's goodness is that His very essence is good. Everything about God is good. His name is goodness. He is independently and uniquely good. There is none good but God. God's goodness is as eternal, immutable, and infinite as He is. And God is exclusively good. There's no admixture of error in Him. No sin in Him. Everything about Him is good. God is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. God's goodness is universal. I'm going to cover some of that today. It extends to everyone, everywhere, to all of creation. He sends His rain upon the just and the unjust. And God's goodness is something that we ought to daily think about and reflect on. And meditate on. Today we're going to look at some of the manifestations of God's goodness. And Psalm 33:5 says, "The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." Everywhere you look throughout this earth, God is good. Is that the wrong scripture? Huh? Let's see, Psalm 33:5. Okay. Well, I saw Teresa shaking her head like she was mad about it. And then I thought, well, maybe I've messed up here. And she just didn't read far enough. So there you go, Teresa. Hey. She just gave me the thumbs up there. It's funny how you recognize things while you're preaching. What about that? It's still true. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. And the goodness of God is manifested or displayed in a variety of ways. And what we're going to do is we're going to divide them into two major categories. First of all, the general goodness of God that extends literally to all creation. And then His special distinguishing goodness that has been purposed, planned, and brought about for His people in salvation and spiritual life. I like what John Gill said, "Our Jehovah, the true God, is superlatively good. Good in the highest degree. Good beyond all conception and expression." So, as I try to describe for you how God manifests His goodness, understand how limited I am as a human being trying to express just how amazing, how far-reaching the goodness of Almighty God really is. Well, what are some of the displays of the general goodness of God? Now, the first thing I'm going to start off with is the creation. Realize that an overwhelming majority of people in our world today do not look at the creation as being brought about by Almighty God. Through years of indoctrination of an evolutionary worldview brought on by Charles Darwin and atheism, an overwhelming majority of people today believe in evolution. They don't see the creation as coming about by a good God. But I know for a fact that God is the Creator. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It's interesting that in Genesis chapter 1, you will read 7 times as you look at the process, day by day, what God did as He brought about everything that's in this universe. 7 times in chapter 1, the creation is said to be good, reflecting the character of the Creator. The creation, the vastness of it, the glory of it, the power of it, it all comes from a good God. Do you know, think about just the creation of man. God made Adam from the dust of the earth. He breathed into him the breath of life. He gave him something that the rest of the creatures did not have. Human rationale, a soul, an immortal soul that will live on forever. And everything about the structure of our bodies attests to the goodness of our Maker. God has given us internally brains to think and reason with, to store and retrieve information. Isn't it amazing how God has given you the ability to learn, to grow in knowledge, and then the ability to apply that knowledge in a variety of given situations in your life? Remember when you were a little kid and you didn't know what to do, and then your dad or your mom, they taught you something and you learned it for all of life? And God puts that capability in our brains to retrieve information, to amass information. And I fear that today we're not using those abilities very well. Whatever happened to people reading good books? I mean, making a determined effort to always be reading, growing, learning, wanting to know more, wanting to read and store information. You say, well, everybody's reading the internet. Yeah, but what are they reading on the internet? I mean, think about it. How many people ever picked up the most important book in all the world, the Bible? Young people. You're here today. God love you. God bless you. This is the most important book in all the world. You ought to make it your life's passion and purpose to read the Bible. Read it from, like the old Scottish man said, from kibber to kibber, from cover to cover. Read it all. It's God's Word. I'd encourage you, start in the book of John. If you've never read the Bible before, read about the greatness, the glory, the power of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the resurrection and the life, the bread of life, the way, the truth to God. Learn from the Scriptures. It's the greatest book there is. And ask God to give you an understanding, because really, He's the only one that can give you that understanding. Read the Bible. Read other good books. I've got thousands of volumes in my library. A lot of them have to do specifically with the Word of God. But I've got a lot of other good books too. I love reading biographies. Now, as I've gotten older, it seems like the more I read, the more I nap. I hate that I'll be really studying and all of a sudden I find myself in my chair. All of a sudden, I'm reeling in. And the word, sometimes I slobber on my book. That's when it's really bad, man, when you get to that point. But I'm so glad for the opportunity to read, to be able to understand the Word of God, to read good books, to read biographies, about men and women that inspire me to do better. Listen, God's provided all these things for us. And how often do we really not even think about what a privilege it is to be able to get a good book and to read it and learn it and learn something new? God's given us that capacity. The admonition here today is activate your brain. Use what God's given you. Turn off the old television for a while. Push the button on the internet. How about you want to drive your kids crazy? Shut down the Wi-Fi. Shut her down for an hour and give them a book and let them read. We're missing that in our society. I'm a big believer in real books too, not just digital, but everybody's going digital. Everybody wants digital. Oh, you can do so much with digital. Yeah, but who controls the digital? And what happens when the people who control the digital say, that's hate speech, or we don't want you learning that, or we're going to rewrite that, or we're going to... That's why I accumulate good books. Now, granted, I'm going to leave quite a mess to my kids when I die, because I've got books everywhere. I've got them in every room in the house. But I'm a big believer in reading. Now, this sermon really, it took a turn for that. And I hope that you understand how important it is. God's given you the capacity to learn. Everybody, in some degree, in some measure. Some more than others. Obviously, I need to read a lot more than others. Because a lot of times, I don't get it the first time. I got to keep going over it. I remember when Josh, he could read something, and after he read it, he knew, he remembered it, everything about it. It used to really irritate me, because I thought, here is this kid can read something, remember every bit of it, and here I am clawing, scratching, digging, and then got to go back over it. God distributes that ability differently to different people. But you know, when God gives you that ability, you've got responsibility. But think about it. Eyes to see with. What a privilege it is to have eyesight. To be able to behold, to be able to read, to behold the glory of creation. And then the way He designed our eyes. He's got brows over them. And then He's got eyelids and eyelashes. So that every time it rains, if we didn't have eyelids or eyebrows or eyelashes, the rain would just come right down in your eyes. How aggravating would that be? But God has designed all of this. He's given us hands to work with to carry out a multitude of duties. Some people are not given to reading as much as they are to doing. And God's gifted them with the ability to build and to fix. And what a blessing that is. But how often do we really reflect on the goodness of God in our physical makeup? He's given us noses and lungs to breathe with. How amazing is it that God designed your lungs to take in certain gases that are in a particular mixture that enable blood to flow to all of your body, enable you to... How amazing is that? A heart that continually pumps blood, and not just a year, but mine's been doing it now for over 64 years. And you know what? Most of the time it works. Really, think about it. Think about how many days you've woke up and your heart's beating and your blood's flowing and you're breathing well. Did you think for a minute, Lord, thank you for making my heart work today. Thanks for the air that I'm breathing today. Were it not for you, I wouldn't be able to live. He's given us mouths and tongues to communicate with. What a blessing that is, to be able to tell somebody that you love them, that you're praying for them, that you care about them, and what a blessing it is to hear that. What about the times that you've needed a sermon? You may not have even needed it. You didn't know that you needed it, but God worked it out. And you came to church and you heard the message from the Word of God, and it cheered your heart, it encouraged you, or it showed you something. See, God is working in your life every single day. Our physical makeup displays God's goodness. And He didn't merely create us to function as robotic life forms. He's given us all things richly to enjoy. Every day, you have the ability, if you have eyesight, you can go out and when the skies are as blue as a robin's egg, and they're just beautiful, God enables you to see the wonder of that. How about the changing of the leaves in the fall? The snowflakes that are all different, each one unique in the winter. The blooms that are coming out right now in the spring, and I love it when I call them redbud trees. They're not really red. They're more of a different color than that. But I love it when that starts popping out. And then when you plant your garden and you plow up and you put the beans in and the corn in. Isn't it amazing when that starts coming up? And then God enables you through that. He's the one that nourishes that. The seed with sunshine, with rain. And in time, He allows you to reap what you sow. Here's an amazing thing. He allows you to reap a lot more than you sow. You ever think about that? We put a couple of beans in every place. I got a lot of beans, Joe. Yeah, I know it. Beans, it's amazing. You put two little beans in a hill there, covered up with dirt, and it produces a bean bush that's just loaded with other beans, full of beans. That's amazing to me. Same thing with corn. Now, I was so ignorant when I first started gardening. I tried one time when I lived in Xenia to plant a garden. It was the year that we had a drought. So everything failed. But the first time I planted corn, I thought maybe you got 5 or 6 ears for every stalk. You only get 2. That's it. But one kernel produces full ears with a lot of other crops. God, He gives you more than you planted, more than you sowed. God lets us see the flowers. How about, these are just things to think about. The things He allows you to see. The people that you enjoy in your life. How about taste buds? This is really big for me. I mean, food is a big part of my life. And somebody says, well, you shouldn't focus on food. Well, it's something I do every day. And man, isn't it a blessing when you can eat and enjoy it and digest it? And it nourishes your body. I mean, who doesn't feel really good after a plate of fried potatoes, sausage, and over easy eggs? Who can't feel good after eating that? Oh man, it's delicious and nutritious. When you eat it, it'll make you ambitious. And that's not a bit fictitious. I'm not going to go on any farther. Tammy just went. But God has given us taste buds to enjoy. That's a blessing. And you think about how God has provided you for you in so many ways. Consider the majority of the time that you enjoy good health. Now, that's not true of every single individual, but a majority of people enjoy relatively good health as opposed to the number of days of sickness or pain that you have to endure. Cora Holbrook just passed away this week. She's just shy of 100 years old. God gave her almost 100 years. Appreciate that. Understand that she had a lot more good days than she had bad days. And rejoice in that. You know, even our sorrows, as deep and as painful as they can be, are often alleviated by seasons of refreshing and encouragement. Maybe somebody reaches out, just says, I love you, I'm praying for you. The goodness of God is displayed by the friends and family He's brought into our lives. Oh, that we would treasure this more. This is being lost in our society. Human interaction. Love for one another. Caring about the people that are in your life. I'm so thankful for my parents, my grandparents, the things they taught me, the way that my dad worked two jobs so that my mom could stay home with the kids and so that we always had food on the table. That was a big deal. It's a blessing. It's an encouragement when you think about your parents, what they mean to you. How about your children? Your wife. That's good. If you're a man, your wife. And if you're a woman, your husband. Be thankful that God brought you together. And the children, if you have children, the blessing of that. They're not a burden. They're an opportunity to bond and encourage and empower and teach and pour your life into. How thankful we ought to be for children and grandchildren. Think about all the blessings you've had in your life regard with people, teachers that made an impact on your life. I'll never forget Miss DeBray. She never married. She taught world history. And that was I was a freshman or a sophomore in high school. It was the first time that I really began to love history. And I had no idea. At that time, I was a complete heathen. I had no idea that God was going to, for the rest of my life, make me read and study. And she was the first person that ever ignited that. I remember Miss Taylor, my fourth grade teacher. No, that was Miss Taylor, my fourth grade teacher. She was mean. But I got straight A's because I was scared of her. Miss Ray, my fifth grade teacher. She had one arm that was drawn up. She was the meekest, kindest teacher that I ever had. And she taught me she taught me gentleness and had a good example before me. Bible teachers that I've had. My pastor, I'm thankful for all the truth that I learned under his ministry. I'm telling you, if you just stop and think, every day is an opportunity for you to reflect on the goodness of God in your life. How it influences every aspect of your life. And yet how often we just take it all for granted. Every day God gives us life and breath and all things. Acts 14:17, "Nevertheless, He left not Himself without a witness, and that He did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." He's given us all things. Life and breath and all things. Restful night of sleep. Strength for the day. Food to sustain us. Water to quench our thirst. And the ability to perform our daily jobs. That's all a reflection of God's goodness. And God gives this to everybody and all of His creation. The goodness of God is displayed to all men in that He is long-suffering. Think about this. You deserve hell for all your sins. But God has spared you up to this point. That's His goodness. The very fact that you're not dead and in hell is a testament to the fact that God's goodness has sustained you to this point. And you know what that goodness ought to do? It ought to lead you to repentance. The Bible says in Romans chapter 2, and verses 4 and 5, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds." Reflect on God's goodness, especially in the sending of His Son to die for sinners. And then goodness is expressed in the laws He's given us. They're good for us. Do you realize that the moral law, all Ten Commandments, they were not given to benefit God. They were given as a reflection of His character so that you could be blessed if you understand the truth of the Ten Commandments. the moral law to govern living. If you actually practiced the last six, there'd be peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. If everybody honored their father and their mother, nobody murdered one another, nobody coveted what everybody else had, nobody committed adultery, there would be a wonderful society. But men break all of them because they despise the goodness of God. God in His goodness uses the law to show us what's right and where we're wrong and leads us to repentance. And then in providence, think about this. What if everybody, if God completely stopped restraining evil? Think about how every society would degenerate into mass chaos if men were just allowed to act on their basest, most depraved impulses. Sadly, I fear that God is leaving nations alone to their own devices. And some of the horrific things that go on, people are kidnapping kids and selling them into sex slavery. Abuse that you don't hear nothing about, but it's all over the world. That's human depravity. And it's all man's fault. I pray that God will help us throughout this next week to apply, just by way of thought, meditation, to start thinking about the goodness of God just in the physical, natural blessings we enjoy. Every day, give God thanks for it. But see if you don't have a better attitude. Man, a lot of people have really bad attitudes. They're negative, they're critical, they're hateful. I don't want to live like that. Reflect on the goodness of God. Now next week, we're going to look at God's special goodness to His people. And how amazing it is when God saves sinners. Let's all stand. Thanks, Father.